This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson's sports talk show.
But I think at the fair I'd blend in because I spend my summers at my grandparents' farm.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sister Jean, well, she actually had him going out in the second round. You know, her name's Mud there.
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpup.
There's a 30, Jace Kinnaman turning on the Jetson inside the 10. Touchdown, Bullpups.
Everything happening in the sports world.
Pass is caught. Diggs. Sideline. Touchdown. Unbelievable.
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
We're really funny.
Well, no, I'm really not.
I think you're pretty funny.
Well, that's just because I'm so confused.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing, another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE, or for those of you listening online worldwide at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the man who is ready for a big weekend of football. You know, you get that break Tuesday and Wednesday to get yourself back into the groove. But Steve Sell, starting tonight, it's another full 5 days of football.
Really is. And, you know, it's a great time of year. It's still early in the season. Even the teams that have lost games still have a lot of optimism. And, you know, they can turn their seasons around with just one big victory.
Who are you talking about? High school teams, middle school teams, college teams, NFL teams.
We have a lot of teams that can do that.
We've got a lot that's going on in our scope right now, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
We're excited because tomorrow night we get to watch McPherson and El Dorado from the beautiful, luxurious BG Products Veterans Stadium in El Dorado, the home of the Butler County Grizzlies. I hear they have big recliners for broadcasters to sit in.
It's pretty nice.
They have room service as well. They have waiters that bring you drinks.
It is a very luxurious press box.
You get a massage while you're on broadcast. Would you like that, Steve?
No.
If you could just sit back in the lazy chair and somebody massage your shoulders.
Well, if that happened, I'd lose my focus. So
you'd be too relaxed. You'd be falling asleep.
Yeah, because you know me and sleep. I can sleep in a drop of a dime.
But we're excited about making our trip there. And speaking of that, it's a Bullpup football preview Thursday. Always an exciting day. We've also got Bullpup soccer on the air tonight at 5:30. So 5 more hours, and then you'll get to hear some more of us. Then over the weekend, another huge college football weekend. Not only throughout the KCAC and some great matchups around here, but it's a big top 25 weekend in college football as well. The NFL, the Chiefs, the Steelers. Steve, the more I look at that Chiefs-Steelers matchup, and the more weird things that continue to pop out of Pittsburgh, my mind and my money is moving more toward the Chiefs. Is the same happening for you?
No.
Or are you still saying, ooh, Big Ben going to torch that defense?
I'm still going with Pittsburgh. Until the Chiefs prove they can beat Pittsburgh, I'll always go with the Steelers against the Chiefs.
Steve, I was playing a little tennis last night. I got a funny story for you. And I don't know who the people were, but we're playing tennis up at the high school. And a lot of the younger teams, like the 12-year-old, or probably not 12-year-old, probably 11, 10, 9, 8-year-old football teams, they practice up at the high school.
Oh, yeah.
And they sort of alternate where they will be practicing and who practices on what day. But about 7:30, two little guys, probably about 10 or 11, them and their parents roll up to practice, and nobody else is there.
Uh-oh.
And so then
did the kids start crying?
Well, no. I think they were probably very happy they didn't have to go to football practice. But then there was the torturous time where the parents said, all right, guys, we're already here. You got your pads on. I mean, they had their shoulder pads on. They had their pants on with the pads in them.
Oh, yeah.
They had helmets on. And mom and dad and I think sister took them out on the field and said, all right, we're going to have a little practice.
Okay.
And so the two of them, they were hitting dummies. They were passing a football around. They were doing all sorts of drills.
Doing everything to get better.
And it made me think, there's a reason why we respect football coaches. Because they have a plan. And they get things done. Parents, don't take your kids out to the football field in full pads and make them run the Oklahoma drill against each other one-on-one until they bash their brains in. It just made me laugh because you can picture it, especially if you've got parents that are a little unorganized. Mine are very organized, and so that would have never happened for me.
Yeah.
But if your parents, you know, you got a bunch of kids, you never remember what day practice is, it can happen.
Sure.
And you roll up to practice at the wrong time. Who knows? Maybe they were supposed to practice at 5:30, and here it is at 7:30, and everybody's already gone home.
Well, it's almost dark, too.
It can definitely happen.
Yeah.
But my suggestion, parents, you show up at the practice field, nobody's there, you go back home.
Yeah. Okay.
I was laughing about it.
Okay.
Because they were out there, and they were having a great time. It was almost probably better than what their normal football practice would have been.
Quality family time together.
That's true.
The family that plays football together stays together.
You get mom tackling little Johnny, little Jimmy.
Mom clotheslining little Johnny. Oh, my gosh.
Sister Catherine, she's kicking field goals with him. She's throwing passes.
Oh, there you go.
It was a great sight to see. I can also guarantee that my mother would not have put me through the gauntlet of football practice if we rolled up. There was nobody there. I was laughing about it. One of the only other times that we were running late, I was leaving like a middle school basketball practice to go over to a baseball game. This was practice in the summer. And my mom got rear-ended while I was in the back seat changing.
Oh.
It's a great time. I think I started flying around back there.
Oh, I'm sure.
We were late to my baseball game because of it. I love practice. Little kid practice stories. All the good stuff. Steve, what were your little kid practices like?
Oh.
You just run in circles around everybody because you were so fast?
Well, we'd go to McKinley Field for Kiwanis
Little
League. The
famous one.
For Kiwanis Little League basketball practice. And I would pitch all the time in practice. But I only got to pitch.
You weren't the game pitcher.
I got to pitch one inning in a game because we ran out of pitchers.
It sounds like you threw really good batting practice.
Well, that's because I didn't throw very hard. I tried to use cunning and guile.
Yeah.
You know, with my off-speed pitches
didn't
as
quite
an 11-year-old. Yeah. I didn't have a very good changeup. My changeup looked like my fastball.
Well, Steve, we've got a fun show today. We got some news about 35 seconds before we went on the air. And that is that the NFL has announced its nominees for the NFL Hall of Fame. And, of course, all the people that were eligible last year and were on the ballot, I think for the most part, will still be there. But the headliners for the new people that will have a chance to get into the NFL Hall of Fame, London Fletcher, Champ Bailey, all the Broncos fans probably very excited about Champ, Ed Reed, former safety with the Ravens, and then Tony G, Tony Gonzalez.
Well, I think Ed Reed, Champ Bailey, and Tony Gonzalez will be first ballot Hall of Famers. They should be, but there's some of the old school that says, oh, we can't have men on the first ballot. But I think Tony G's on there, and I think Ed Reed's on there. Ed Reed was a big time.
Well, Ed Reed won at least one Super Bowl. I think he won two. I think he would have been on that team the first one
that
they won.
He was on the one with Trent Dilfer.
If he was on that team, then yeah, he won two.
Yeah.
Tony Gonzalez, for my generation of friends, you can even go 3 or 4 years above me and below me. Tony Gonzalez was the Kansas City Chief for the people of my generation.
Yeah.
That when you walk out into the elementary school playground at Pleasant Ridge Elementary School in 2004, people are going to be wearing Tony Gonzalez jerseys. A few Priest Holmes mixed in.
Well, and his,
maybe a Dante Hall.
The numbers are just overwhelming. I mean, when you compare him to the other tight ends that are in the Hall of Fame, there's no comparison. So
15,000 yards,
wow,
111 touchdown passes that he caught, and about 100 slam dunks over the goalpost.
And remember, the tight end was it used to be a position that people didn't even pay attention to. It was just another offensive lineman. And guys like Tony Gonzalez changed the way we look at, now look at tight ends. Rob Gronkowski, Jimmy Graham.
Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah.
Jordan Reed.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of as many as I can.
Well, but Gronkowski.
Zach Ertz.
Zach Ertz. Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
Although he got hurt last
Jason
week.
Jason Witten.
Yeah, Jason Witten. You look at those guys, and they revolutionized what tight ends were. They became more receivers than they were blockers.
Tony Gonzalez has also had a very good life after football. where his presence on some of the Fox broadcast, and I think he does a lot of pre- and post-game, not as much in-game stuff, but Tony Gonzalez is a guy that his legacy is really good.
Yeah.
His persona, his image throughout the NFL community, that guy is really well-liked. He was an unbelievable football player.
And that's why he's going to get in on the first ballot.
And you know what kids my age were doing when we were playing touch football in the yard?
I don't know.
We were walking up to something to try and dunk the football over after you caught it. Because you wanted to be like Tony Gonzalez. Yeah.
Well, remember, Tony Gonzalez played college basketball at Cal.
That's right.
And he, you know, he was a good college basketball. I think he played against KU maybe one game.
I would have liked to seen it. What is he, 6'6", 6'7"?
6'4".
I was going to give him a little bit more, I'm going to give him more credit.
Small, he was a small forward, but with a big body.
Yeah, big body, yeah. Big hands.
Yeah, 245 pounds.
Tony Gonzalez. The guys, for me growing up, that everybody emulated, Priest Holmes had that ridiculous year in 2003 where he had 27 touchdowns
right. When
I was 8. Then you had the Larry Johnson era come in right after that. And everybody was going LJ and holding it up with their their hands.
Yeah.
But Tony Gonzalez was the constant throughout all of that. Trent Green a little bit too, but even his good run was 4 years.
Yeah.
Where Tony Gonzalez, even when he went to Atlanta, Chiefs fans were all in on him.
Mm-hmm.
All in on the Falcons and saying, hey, if we're not going to make it, Tony G, you got to get him the ball. Get him in the end zone. Come on, Falcons.
Yeah. And didn't he make it to the Super Bowl? I want to say
no. They did not make it.
They did not make it. Okay. What year did they go to the Super Bowl?
Ooh,
a couple years ago.
Well, they went to the Super Bowl in 2000. It would have been Super Bowl 51.
Okay, 2 years ago.
But he had been retired for like 3 years at that point.
Okay.
I really like Tony Gonzalez, and yeah, he'll probably be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Right.
But we got some of that news today. Exciting times. All right, Steve. Let's transition into our next topic. It's a Bullpup Football Preview Thursday. As McPherson will take on El Dorado tomorrow night, week 3, down at El Dorado. We'll do that next. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE. Jim Joyner, Steve Sell on a Bullpup Football Preview Thursday. Steve, we've been excited for this matchup in week 3 against the El Dorado Wildcats, who come in at 1-1. McPherson, of course, 2-0 after wins over Salina South and wins over Winfield. Just one win over Winfield.
Mm-hmm.
This El Dorado team, when I talked with Coach Pav earlier this morning, it's one that this is going to be their test to really show where they stand, because they've had two games that were very different. They went to Independence to take on your Bulldogs in week 1.
My Bulldogs
stink. And the Bulldogs did not put up much of a fight.
They stink.
It was 36-8. Then in week 2, they took on a Bueller team that, by some of the things I've found, had beaten El Dorado 15 times in a row entering that game. And it was 6-6 going into the fourth quarter. And by all accounts, El Dorado played better than Bueller for a lot of this game and just missed out on opportunities. Bueller scored twice in the fourth quarter, but this was also a team that beat El Dorado 48-6 a year ago. So we've seen one very good offensive performance, a couple of pretty good defensive performances, but let's also be fair here. El Dorado has not faced an offense that is as good as McPherson's, and they have not faced a defense that is as good as McPherson. So this will be their first real test to see where they stand.
Well, the thing about El Dorado is Bill Shaw took over last year. Bill Shaw was on Tom Young's staff for many, many years. He's a defensive-minded guy. They have been tremendous on defense so far. You hold Bueller to, 6 points in the first three quarters, you know your defense is pretty good. So Bill Shaw has really got a good defensive game plan. He's got a bunch of wrestlers, you know, guys on their wrestling team that really are their mainstays for their football team. I think the Bullpups are going to have to throw the football because it sounds like they really stack it up against the run. Chase Kinnaman, not quite 100% this week. He's got a little bit of a muscle pull or hamstring a little higher, you know, tight pull. Of course, Jacob Vile could still do a good job in his stead.
He's actually got Honesty Whitaker as the number two running back right
okay,
now.
Okay, I have not looked at the depth chart for this week. Coach Pav was in today just raving about the job Bill Shaw has done at El Dorado. And the Bullpups have never played very well in El Dorado. Now, they've taken care of the Wildcats okay at home, but I don't know what it is about going to El Dorado that just kind of brings out the worst in the Bullpups. And Coach Pav said that has been an emphasis this week in practice, saying, hey, you know, just because we handle them at home, when we go down there, we have not played good football down there. So he wants to be fundamentally sound. And I think if the Bullpups win this game handily, that says a lot about them, because El Dorado's got some really good skill players. They've got a good running back.
They've got two good running backs.
Yeah, Jack's Shell is a running back. Morgan's a running back. Morgan was over 200 yards against my Bulldogs. Shell was over 100 last week against Bueller. So they've got some people that can move the ball on the ground. I don't think they throw it all that great, but they haven't seen a defense like McPherson's either. So I think this game's going to tell a lot about both teams, because the Bullpups, they're going to have to get that passing game going, and they've got to get Kyler Hoppus some protection. To be honest, I feel like in the first two games, he's not had a lot of time to throw. And, you know, last week he had a little more time than the first week, and it showed because his passing numbers went up. But it's time for the Bullpups to put together that complete game. They have not had a complete game on offense yet. One week, the passing game was fine. The week before, the running game was fine. They got to get them both on the same page.
Part of the conversation I had with Coach Pav earlier this morning that I found to be very interesting is that I don't know if I've heard a high school football coach say this, and I don't know if I've really seen very many coaches in a lot of places say this, and that he was talking about, with the way the playoffs are set up this year, the Bullpups know that they are in a very good position, and that this is a year that they are paying very close attention to injuries.
Right.
Because this is a team that is in a great spot, that if everybody stays healthy, might be able to go to places that no McPherson team has ever gone before. And that you don't hear people say that very often before, mm-hmm. and that they're going to be extremely careful because they're not quite as worried about the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know, given the schedule, given the talent that they have, given what their playoff road could possibly look like, that they're playing for everybody to be healthy in week 12.
Right.
Which is an interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
Obviously, they're not looking over any teams and saying, oh, we can rest everybody against these guys. But one of their goals this year is to not only get up by 13 and be over the gap that is used for the playoff criteria in points, but put these games away early.
Right.
Get everybody rested up.
Right.
Because they are very conscious, and that they know you have to be careful about injuries.
Well, you look at last year's team,
because that's about the only thing that could derail this team.
You look at last year's team and look at the ton of depth it had.
Yeah.
We had a ton of depth last year because a lot of these guys starting this year were last year's backups, and our backups this year aren't the quality of last year's backups. They could be in time. But we got a lot of young guys, and we don't have as many numbers as we had last year. So, you know, it's a bad thing to kind of say we want to get big points early, you know, and then put everybody on the bench and, you know, not play them very much. But that's what they got to do, because right now we've got three key players. I'm not going to say who they are, have not practiced this week. They're dinged up, but they're going to play most likely on Friday. You'll know who they are if they're not playing on Friday. We'll let you know. But they're three very important players, but they've got a little dinged up, and they're in key positions.
And that's the funny thing about football itself, is you hear, especially in college football, that injuries are such a focus, because there were several Baker teams that I covered that were national championship caliber that when injuries start to happen, it derails what you can do. And at the high school level, you're a little more handicapped by it because of just the number of players. Where on a college football team, you have 120 guys. Who knows if you'll have as good of a backup, but there are more guys you can throw in there. At the high school level, you might have a backup that is a freshman that you would never want to put in the game. That is your person that's the next line.
Right.
And injuries for really good teams are one of the things that can derail a season.
Well, the Bullpups, knock on wood, have been very fortunate with injuries. I think a lot of that to me is having Brandon Labertu on staff.
It helps. Because,
you know, he's on the staff as a coach, but he is also a certified trainer. Everyone knows Brandon, you know, great physical therapist and things like that. And having him at practice, you know, he knows what to do to prevent injuries and things
and
like that.
And they don't have a lot of full contact
in
practice.
Yeah, their practice.
Not much.
Yeah, there is not a lot of contact in practice just because this team, like I say, their frontline guys, they're as good as anybody in the state.
It's a luxury to have.
Yeah, it is a luxury to have. But boy, it falls off after those frontline guys. A lot of young, untested guys.
We're excited about tomorrow night's matchup, the second road game in a row for the Bullpups. At Winfield last week, at El Dorado this week, and then the Abilene Cowboys will come to town in week 4, and we still don't quite have the identity for that team yet either.
Right.
So that will be an interesting matchup there at home. And then week 5, lurking around the corner with Big B, Bueller, going on the road.
Again, 2 years in a row on the road.
And that's a team that there is not one person on that McPherson sideline coaching staff that thinks that even because they're 1-1 and have not played very well in the first two games, that bad team.
There's
not one person that thinks that.
I mean, Bueller's got to be looking at us like, if we beat McPherson, we're going to be 7-1 in the regular season. And, you know, McPherson was looking at it, provided, you know, everything goes according to plan. We beat Bueller, we're going to be 8-0 in the regular season. So that is just that game has such huge implications for playoff seeding. That's going to be the one that really, you know, because if Bueller has 2 losses and we go undefeated, that really knocks Bueller down a few rungs in the playoff ladder.
All right, Steve, let's take our final break. When we come back, we'll preview our broadcast tonight. Bullpup Soccer taking on Salina Central in a terrific matchup there as the Mustangs come in 6-0, McPherson 5-1, and then a little quick preview of Get Your Bet on Thursday Night Football between the Ravens and Bengals. We'll do that next. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's show, 96.7 FM KBBE, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell. Steve, you've been following the Beatles this week?
No.
It's been a weird week for the Beatles.
Why?
Whenever we get off the air here in 4 minutes, go Google Paul McCartney.
Okay.
Been an interesting week.
Okay.
I love the Beatles. We play a lot of them.
Love the Beatles. I grew up with the Beatles, so.
It's been an interesting week.
Okay. Sir Paul got himself in a little trouble.
Let you be the judge of that. All right, Steve. Looking ahead to Bullpup Soccer tonight, taking on Salina Central. Very excited about it. We've talked about how earlier El Dorado is waiting for its moment to define its season. But I think tonight will be a very interesting game for this McPherson High soccer team. Is this the game that they put it all together because they're, 6 games in? And I don't think they've had that perfect game yet.
No.
And now against a very good opponent in 5A, which they'll be in by this time next week, it'll be a good chance to learn where they stand.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And you know, really, you look at this game, the next game is the halfway point of the season.
Which seems wild.
Which does seem wild. But Salina Central,
they've played 6 games in the last week.
Salina Central has had the Bullpups' number.
Yeah.
The Bullpups have really struggled with, or Salina Central, I should say. Central has got great speed. This will be the fastest team the Bullpups play during the regular season. They are fast every year. They are very good. They go deep in the playoffs. And, the Bullpups, they got to bring their A game today if they want to get a win. Anything less than their A game will not get it done. And I know Coach Adrian, talking to him after the game the other night, he's a little frustrated by this team not being able to finish on the offensive end. They're getting good chances, but they're not putting the ball in the net to his satisfaction. 2-1 against Rose Hill the other night. That was a very tough, physical game, and this game will be more of the same. But he wants to see his team finish because they are possessing the ball probably 75-80% of the time. Now, that won't happen tonight. It'll be more like a 50-50 thing tonight because Central has great skill players and, like I say, just tremendous speed. So get out to McPherson Stadium tonight. If you can't, we're going to be on the air about 5:20 game time, around 5:30. We'll have all the action, and should be a tremendous game. Probably the best home game we'll have this year as far as terms of quality.
Steve, the Thursday night football game, which we should be able to see about all of it since it starts at 7:20.
Right.
Baltimore Ravens and my guy Alex Collins feeling good after a dismantling of the Buffalo Bills and murdering of Nathan Peterman at quarterback.
Cost him his job.
Taking on the Cincinnati Bengals, who squeaked one away at the Colts. I'm excited for this one. AFC North, you know what all those teams get going, especially when you get the Bengals involved. There's going to be some blood.
Yeah, very physical.
Bengals are 1-point favorites at home.
And I like the Ravens.
Ooh.
I really do.
The Dirty Birds.
I've been a Ravens guy for a long time.
Since Edgar Allan Poe.
Edward Reed.
Oh, yeah.
But no, I like their physical style. I'm curious to see how they incorporate Lamar Jackson into the game plan because I think they got some packages for him. Joe Flacco getting near the end of the line. And really, when you look at this Ravens team, the window is closing. Most of their really good players are old. They're probably one of the older teams, I would think, in the NFL. Most of their really good guys are in their early to mid-30s. So Ravens need to make a big move.
Excited about that one tonight. I'm taking the Bengals at home.
The Red Rifle, Andy Dalton.
I'm taking him. Okay. I feel good about him.
Okay.
All right, Steve. We'll wrap up today's show. Remember, 5:20 broadcast tonight. McPherson taking on Salina Central. And then, of course, Week 3, football coming up tomorrow night at El Dorado. Wrapping up today's show, for Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll see you tonight at McPherson Stadium.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.